the Chinese year of the Eastern Bluff.
Welcome to Talking Istanbulics with me, Jorma Kirko, recording our 66th episode from the beautiful sunny island of Crete, and him,
Raymak, at home in Istanbul, also sunny, 23 degrees, Jimster.
So 23 degrees, eh? 23 yeah. degrees, perfect weather for sitting in your underpants, isn't it, and eating crisps, right?
Eating crisps, exactly, and not the other thing that you wrote down earlier on. But I'm putting that down to you hitting the big 50 soon.
Yeah,
I'm in my underpants. Not underpants, actually. I'm in my Bermudas.
Oh,
and they're that Hawaiian style, you know, Tom Selleck from Magnum PI. And I'm taking them to a brand new level.
Yeah, you're starting to look a bit like him, actually. Yes, very good. Very good.
We're bringing you. Yeah,
it's the same weather in Crete. I'm just looking out of our bedroom window at the snow-capped mountains, but 23 degrees and sun shining on the ground. So brilliant. Ray's a bit annoyed with me because this isn't the first time that we've done this today. We just nearly finished and I realized that. I'd forgotten to press record, one of the dangers of not being in the local juicer. Anyway.
Did you put it down to that?
Well,
I put it down to you being 50 in 19 to 20 weeks. That's what I put it down to, pal.
I put it down to the fact that you plan to spend today sitting in your underpants, eating crisps and masturbating.
Look, I have better things to be doing with my hands, pal. I know the old male generation. They like the little bit of... what was it again? That word I used to give it? Beef stroking off.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Can we get back to the podcast? Grow Radio UK, home of the biggest selection of podcasts, Jimster, on the radio. 24/7, mind you, a day, of course. Our main sponsors, which we are not there today, unfortunately, but at the weekend, James Joyce, Irish Pub, Istanbul.
Yes, and today's show is brought to you by Cheese Connoisseur magazine, the publication that is the authority on all things cheese. And this week's show is packed with more cheese than a homeless man's foreskin.
Connoisseur. Cheesy, but rather great.
Yes. Well, if that's what you want to say about homeless men's foreskins, that's your own private kingdom, isn't it? I'll defend your right to say whatever you like, Ray. Doesn't mean I agree with you.
Anyway, Liam Neeson is back with us again, talking telly and his new screenplay. We've got True or False, Post of the Week. And as ever, we're going to start off with Morgan Freeman reading about one of his poems about fishing shakers.
As the spring comes in, it's a joy to be at one with nature. Duncan from Maine wrote to Jorma and Ray at talkingistanbullocks@gmail.com and asked if I'd write a poem about going fishing and drinking beer in the sun. And I couldn't think of anything finer at this time of year. So I wrote a poem about a fishing weekend I had with my buddy last May. So here is Gone Fishing by Morgan Freeman. Tranquil water, gentle breeze, the bobbing boat. Got my bait, got my booze, my maggots in float. My buddy steers the boat to the middle of the lake. I hope I don't fall in if I don't stay awake. Gentle willows, the odd egret, and the lapping of the water. I embrace the peace, my wife's away with my daughter. To persuade my wife to go on the spa retreat required my best attempts at cunning deceit. I booked us the days, and then feigned surprise, checking my diary, an ad for Fray Bento's pies. I explained sincerely, I needed the wage. Offers of work are more sparse at my age. My wife understood, my daughter in my place would go. But I'd done the commercial 3 or 4 weeks ago. Not a full lie, I'd call it more juggling of facts. So my daughter picked her up when her bags were packed. Stuck the fishing gear and sandwiches in the back of my truck. 3 days of unexpected guy time, with any luck. My frustration mounts as the fish evade my line. Pesky mosquitoes are the only bites I find. My legs are stiff. I've caught literally not a thing. So in anger and defeat, my fishing rod I fling. I look on with a sigh as the wretched thing sinks back to dry land. Emperor Burger and Beer, I think. As my wife does her yoga and Thai meditation, I hit the bar for scoops of intoxication. The coquettish barmaid's smile and a low-cut top. Onto a high stool at the bar, I hastily hop. I told her I'd gone fishing. She offered me a line, which I later snored off her beautiful bare behind. The next day, I wake by a slumbering lady. The details of last night have become a bit hazy. Better than a wellness break, I think I recall. Fine with a foxy MILF, who's about 6 feet tall. The angling was a write-off, caught less than I'd wished. But nevertheless, my beard still stinks of fish.
good old Morgan. Coming a bit of a dirtbag, but I can see why. Bit of a dirty mind, a little bit pervy, Jimmy.
Yeah, he does from time to time get a bit rude, doesn't he? And then he goes back onto being a decent lad. Yeah, but I mean, why not? I mean, you've got to think, though, at the same time, he has his request, doesn't he? And Duncan Chesley wrote in and asked, could he have a poem about drinking beer and fishing in the sun? And he added the surprise little bit at the end, which said, and can you make it just a bit sexist? So I guess that was easy for Morgan,
wasn't it? I guess we're going to blame Duncan.
Yeah, I would have thought. Well, it was his request.
It was, yeah. Duncan, you dirtbag. I loved the usage of Morgan bringing in one of our favorite words at the weekends, scoops of intoxication.
That was nice. That actually, when he gave in his first draft, he actually said something about libation, and I asked him if he could change it just to make it sound that little bit more talking Istanbul / black milkshake, you know.
Yeah, but keep up the good work, Morgan, and good skills, Duncan.
Yes. Okay. And remember, if you're at home, if you'd like a poem written for you, specially like Duncan had this week, you can write us a request by email, talkingistanbulux@gmail.com, and Morgan will get the poem. And if it's a topic that he has some knowledge of, he will write the poem about it.
Absolutely.
No True. Other podcasts offer you that, do they?
So don't, Jimmy.
Yeah. Huh?
Even in your Bermudas or underpants.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Put those crisps away, Ray. moving on from Morgan's poetry, Duncan, actually, that we mentioned before, is the guy who played Caden Stokes last week on the show when he reported a crime. And we got quite a few hits for it on YouTube. It surprised me, actually. We got several hundred people clicking like on it. It would be great if we could reach 1,000. So what we would really, really, really like you to do, if you've not seen that video yet, or the video that went up yesterday about Liam Neeson and The Sopranos, could you click on there, please? Watch the video, but most of all, could you subscribe? Okay, it doesn't cost you anything, but it means that you see things when they're up there. And if you like it, you could always send it on to a friend as well. It's just about visibility. Also, if you could just make if you like it, tell us why you like it. Comments on social media, including YouTube, get things seen more than just clicking like. Celebrity
No, I know you are partial, Jimmy, to the old animal celebrities.
I am.
So we're just having...
And before we do that, a couple of hours ago, we just had a flock of sheep going past our balcony window. because that's the biggest noise of the day that we get here in the little village of Drapanos. There's about 50 sheep with bells on going past, which is great. It's not a sheep question, is it, Ray?
No. What's that? Sounds lovely. I can actually just picture it now.
Oh, it's idyllic.
Oh,
it really is.
Anyway, I was telling you, you're partial to the old animal celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And as it's getting closer and closer, 19 to 20 weeks to your big 50, I'm going to keep the smile on your face.
I'll
until
still be
then.
Younger than you when I'm 50.
And I knew I'd still be younger than you.
Just because you mention it every week, so it's obviously very important to you.
Jimmy, it's just a number, pal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's you that goes on about it, not me.
No, myself and Jonathan. Jonathan is throwing out plenty of hellos and highs there. Anyway, that smile will be wiped off your face in a couple of weeks, pal.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, when lionesses are in heat, they have a lot of jiggy-jiggy, furious jumping, Jimmy. 20 to 40 times and in a single day.
Well, I know that's true because you asked it me in episode 304.
Overall, really? Mm-hmm. And a lioness who demands to mate. Now, so if a male is tired and cannot take it anymore, she bites his John Thomas, demanding, roaring at him, Jimmy, to continue mating.
Well, he'd have to put a bit of pride into it, wouldn't he? I wouldn't like to be bitten on the John Thomas by a lioness. I can honestly say that without any shadow of a doubt. So, what's the question? Whether the lioness bites him on the knob?
Yeah, plus in a single day, 20 to 40 times going at it, rumpy bumpy.
Right.
Jiggy, jiggy.
Okay. Well, I remember you asked me this question, as I said, a couple of years ago, and I didn't believe you. And it was about them having sex 20 to 40 times. Okay. So I didn't believe you. So I Googled it, and you were right. And it did say something about the lionesses encouraging the males, leading them on somewhat. So I have no idea whether they bite them on the penis or not, but as you implied that it was the same answer to both, I know then that must be true.
Yeah, but
little minxes, aren't they?
Aren't they just?
Mm.
Yeah, but seriously, Jimmy, it definitely takes the lion sleeps tonight to a whole new level, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, it does. It does. I can just imagine. Yeah. I can just imagine that the lion's feeling a bit tired after 20 to 40 sessions of rumpy pumpy, and he pretends that he's asleep, and then the lioness says to him, "You're lying through your teeth."
Yeah.
See what I did there?
I did. Just a whim away. That's sexual, Jimmy. To me, that's sexual harassment, pal. Spousal abuse. And genital, John Thomas, I like this, transfiguration, alteration, transformation. I rest my case, Jimmy, for the male line.
Can they actually bite it off, though?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, that would be a Bobbit lioness.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Bloody
yeah.
hell.
Yeah.
But then again, saying that, I bet they can't bite it off. Because a lot of animals have those kind of corkscrew penises, don't they? That are so, I nearly said foolhardy. I didn't mean that. I meant resistance to movement. I would imagine it'd be like a piece of iron.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Seriously, an interesting fact for all the shakers out there about our furious jumping lionesses. You like that word, Jimmy? Furious jumper. I do like it too, yeah.
It came up a few weeks ago, didn't it?
Oh, it is. They are the primary hunters. They are smaller and more agile than males. And they use teamwork to bring an animal down.
Yeah.
After a successful hunt, Jimmy, all the lions in the pride, they share the grub. This is called a pecking order, originally as observed by hens. Anyway,
Is
Jimmy,
that
this
where pecking order comes
pecking
from?
order, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And
But the
probably
males.
where the lion's share comes from, for that matter.
Don't see me. But as the old adult males, bit useless, Jimmy. That's where the adult males come in. They eat first. The adult males eat first, followed by the lionesses, and finally the cubs. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah,
the
it is.
women do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the kill, bring
mm-hmm.
it down, and there's your man waiting
yeah.
for the grub.
But actually, I'm sure a lot of women would say that that exists in the human kingdom as well.
Oh, it does.
You know, the woman goes out to work, she goes out shopping, she cooks, and, you know, lazy bones gets in from the pub and it's waiting for him on the table. Not in our house, though, as I'm something of a modern man.
Like my good self, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
That does
Yeah,
not
we
happen
are
at my
modern
altar.
men, aren't we, Ray? Circa
Aren't we just?
1988. 1998.
A lion's roar can be heard up to 8 kilometers away. They
Wow.
usually start off with a few long, deep roars, followed by the faster ones. They also make other noises. They meow, hiss, and snarl like good old
Domestic cats, wow.
but louder, Jimmy.
Well, they're massive. They're massive.
Massive. Oh, yeah. Massive, Jimmy.
I touched
massive
a,
roaring.
Exactly. Roaring buckled. I touched a tiger, a live tiger, when I was in the Philippines a few Christmases ago. And so what's bigger than a tiger, right?
I would say a leopard.
No, leopards are smaller. In the world of big cats, I think tigers are the biggest. But if you cross a lion and a tiger, you get a liger or a ligon, and it's like how if you cross a horse with a donkey, it'll tend to have, you know, the donkey's head but the horse's body, but it's bigger. So yeah, I touched one of the. I can't remember if it was a liger or a ligon or a tigon. I would have no. That doesn't make sense, does it? A
Where did you
liger.
see that
Let's just
tiger, Jimmy?
call it a liger in the Philippines. In the Philippines.
Hey, are you? Yeah.
And
Were you
touched
rising
them.
up? Were you rising up? Were you rising up to it?
Yes, I was, yeah. But
Did you get
it was, honestly, at the shoulder, it was nearly as high as my armpit. Absolutely huge. So you think to yourself, if they start a little growl or something, I mean, even a domestic cat can growl and it makes quite a lot of noise. But if you think of all that huge body that it has to let it all rumble around in, yep, you'd be scared, all right, wouldn't you?
Yeah, hence rumble in the jungle, Jim, sir.
Yeah.
Basically, anyway, these males, Jimmy, are only needed, believe it or not, to provide sperm. So for the survival of the species, he must get on with the job, Jimmy.
Yeah.
While the lioness is ripe. The time is feckin' now. The testicles will go, Jimmy. The king must romance well.
Yes. What happens to the testicles?
What happens to them, Jimmy? And how
They
the
just
fuck would I
fall
know?
off. Because you said it.
Yeah, well, you know, I ever so subtle putting it. But as the great Irish philosopher said, Jimmy, the flesh is weak, pal, but the spirit is willing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I want to know what happens. If anyone at home knows if Ray is right and the lion's balls fall off, let us know.
And now for something completely different.
You may remember that we did an interview a couple of weeks back with Liam Neeson, and he was telling us about his new graphic novel. Well, he's a busy lad, and Yorma, fair play to our Yorma, he managed to get hold of him again on the phone last week to discuss his new TV series that should be out on Netflix next year, Shakers.
And it's with great pleasure that I introduce the wonderful movie star, graphic novelist, and all-round top bloke, Liam Neeson. Welcome back to Talking Istanbul, Liam. It's great to see you again.
Thanks very much, Jimmy. It's good of you to have me on again.
So, Liam, what have you been up to?
Not much, you know. Pottering around in my big mansion, thinking of creative ideas and eating Cheetos, mainly.
Wow, sounds very busy. Now, I'm not sure if you wanted to come and talk about eating Cheetos, did you?
I could probably do that. Why not? They're a crunchy corn puff snack with...
Why don't we talk about your latest project?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Should I start?
Yes, please.
Sorry, I just have to readjust my trouser. Wait a minute. That's better. The troops are back in the trenches now.
Now, I hear that you're working on a pilot for a major new TV serial called...
Yes, The Carusos.
So, what is it, and where did the idea come from?
Thank you. Yes, last summer I was in this pui restaurant in Las Vegas called Carusos. Really posh, and I couldn't work out what to have. I was looking through the menu at these wonderful names like spaghetti puttanesca, rigatoni, parmigiano reggiano, and garlic bread. When it occurred to me that Italian has this wonderful rhythm, and all the words and names of people have a consonant-vowel-consonant-vowel pattern. Anyway, after I'd had my especially ordered deep-pan pizza, I went home and Googled Caruso's restaurant, and by accident stumbled across the famous opera singer, Enrico Caruso.
Was he the one who hemorrhaged on stage?
Yes, but he was also arrested for pinching a woman's buttocks, or goosing, as I prefer to call it, at New York Zoo, although he went to his grave maintaining his innocence, saying that a monkey did it.
Well, that's quite a story. So how did this lead to your next project?
Well, it got me thinking that Caruso probably needed therapy and how it wasn't really accessible back then, especially in macho Italian culture. Quite sad, really, but that's where I got the idea to start writing The Carusos.
So it's about opera singers, then?
Ha! That's the clever thing about it, Jimmy. That's what you'd think. But it's going to be about a family called The Carusos. I decided to put a more modern spin on it because nobody listens to opera these days, and that's a scientific fact. So I had to think of something more viable for an Italian living in the New York area in the modern day. Logic dictates that Tommy, the protagonist, would either have to be the owner of an Italian restaurant or a mafia boss.
Could that not be considered a bit of a cliche about Italian Americans, Liam?
Not really, Jimmy. You see, I've done the research, and over 100% of Italian restaurant owners and Cosa Nostra members in New York and New Jersey are either Italian or of Italian descent.
So tell us about Tommy. What's his last name?
Don't be obtuse. It's fecking Caruso. Tommy Caruso.
I'm sorry.
Go on. I was inspired by Enrico Caruso needing therapy for the whole goosing thing. And as I started to map out Tommy's persona, I began to see this ordinary middle-aged guy. Just like you or me, Jimmy, living in his big mansion with a wife and two kids, the annoying Russian girlfriend, the narcissistic mother, etc., etc. But Tommy also has to counterpoise that with the demands of being a major figure in the world of organized crime.
I have a funny feeling here.
Would you like a Gaviscon, by the way?
No, that's fine.
I always carry some in my lunchbox.
Thank you, though. Tell us more about Tommy Caruso and his journey.
Well, Tommy's got a lot on his plate, you see. Somewhere inside him, there's a likable guy, but his job's very tough with all the extortion and having to brutally murder and kill informants. But the world's changing, and Tommy's not blind to this, though he's firmly rooted in his past. He tries to switch off from his hectic work schedule and all the booze and hookers, but he starts to get depressed as his only real solace is watching ducks. Anyway, when a duck craps in his pool, he loses his shit and has this full-on panic attack and decides, even though he can never tell anyone, that he needs professional help.
From a therapist?
Well, I wouldn't be talking about a bloody vet specializing in duck diarrhea, would I?
For God's sake! You fucking buck idiot!
None taken. So, he seeks help from the therapist, right? Would she, by any chance, be an attractive, gentle, and intelligent middle-aged woman?
How the hell did you know that? Did Vigella give you the script?
No, it's just a hunch that... I might know where this could be going. Is she called Dr. Melfi by any chance?
No. Her name's Dr. Adelphi. It's a completely different name altogether. It starts with an A, for God's sake.
Do go on.
Well, Dr. Adelphi is this attractive, middle-aged Italian-American woman. She's everything Tommy's never experienced in a woman before, but things get complicated when Tommy starts to develop feelings for her. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this on our screens before.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of drama in store for Tommy Caruso, but Liam, I can't help but think it bears some similarities to the...
No, it does not! The Carusos is a completely original concept. Sure, it's got some mobster elements, but it's a whole different story. Nobody could rewrite The Godfather, you know, Jimmy. It'd be preposterous. Anyway, if I can continue without being rudely interrupted.
Sure.
Thank you. So as I was saying, he has this dilemma where he needs to open up to Dr. Adelphi, but he can't tell her about having to brutally murder and kill informants. So he talks about ducks and cannoli and stuff instead.
So is this going to be a movie?
Actually, I've decided to develop it as a major TV serial, Jimmy. There's just so much depth to explore with these characters and their intertwining lives. I'll be writing and directing it myself.
Well, that's great. I'm just a bit worried. It might sound like it's The Sopranos, isn't it? You've rewritten The Sopranos.
How dare you? You can give me back that Gaviscon now, for starters. If you're going to be mean to me, I'm taking back my fast-acting heartburn and indigestion relief, so...
You can stick it up your hole. You can stick it up your arse.
I'm too sexy for your party. Too sexy for your party. The way I'm disco dancing.
The interview was cut short at this point as Liam received a text from HBO and David Chase's lawyers, but we do hope that we can catch up with him again in the near future.
Man, Jimmy. You know, you really are irritating, Jimmy. You can be, you know, like needle and to poke, well, to bug.
He volunteers to come on and talk about his ideas. So if I didn't ask him questions, what would be the point of that?
But I wouldn't like to be interviewed by you. It's bad enough. It's bad enough working with you. But not to be interviewed by you. But no, but seriously, jibing aside, Jimmy, You did a really, really great job. I'm telling you, you're pulling in a good old friendship there.
Oh, yeah. I think, you say that I annoyed him, but then again, nobody's ever called me a fucking Buck Egypt before in an interview. Yeah. So, you know, that was a first. And I think that...
Well, you're not taken for an Egypt, are you?
No. I'll tell you what, the bit that amused me actually was I said something like, I've got a funny feeling. And he immediately offered me some Gaviscon.
Goes to show how naive I was at the beginning of when I was listening to it. I thought you were talking about Robinson Crusoe. I don't know why Robinson Crusoe came up.
Oh, Crusoe. Yeah, as Crusoe. Opposed to Caruso, yeah.
But then I said, Robinson Crusoe didn't have a MILF psychologist.
No, he didn't. I don't think they had either MILFs or psychologists in those days.
Exactly. Did they? But, yeah, I love the word, Jimmy, you know, to readjust his trousers.
Trouser.
To get the trouser, yeah. The old trouser. To get the old troops back in the trenches.
Yeah, it's nice that, wasn't it? It's nice.
Goosing was another word, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a good one. He's got a special kind of vocabulary, hasn't he? But he is right in a way with that Caruso thing. I did check it, and the opera singer, Enrico Caruso, did get done for goosing a woman at New York Zoo. And apparently he denied it till the very day that he died. Insisting that a monkey had done it, so.
Yeah. Good skills, though. Seriously, no, I was really impressed. That was the second time now you got him in.
We had him in a bit in 2022, didn't we? But I think let's see what he comes up with next, and let's see if he finally creates something that that is as original as he thinks.
Black Milkshake, best posts of the week.
host of the week comes in from Victoria Bellinger, Vancouver in Canada.
Hi, Victoria.
I changed that one over, Jimmy, because of the feckin' recording thing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big fuck up. Victoria Bellinger goes on to tell us, a man at his house, it was very late at night, and he was about to go to bed when there was a knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to the door, and it's a snail. The snail says, I'd like to talk to you about buying Big Ones International and Cock Handlers magazine subscriptions. Two for the price of one. I'm sure you would be very interested. Nudge, nudge. Say no more. Say no more, good sir.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you can very well imagine, Shakers, the man was evidently perturbed. He was raging, furious at being interrupted at that time of the morning. And he steps back and takes a running kick as hard as he can at the snail, sends him flying, and then slams the door and goes to bed. 2 years later, there's another knock at the door. He opens it, and lo and behold, it's the snail.
Mm-hmm.
And the snail says, what the fuck was all that about, pal?
Oh, nice one. Nice one, Victoria.
Thanks, Victoria.
All right. That's all. Our second show in an hour. But that's all for another week. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube page, as we asked you before. Let's get 1,000 views in, if we can, for last week's sketch and also the Caruso sketch that went up yesterday.
Many thanks, Shakers, as always, for your support. And please, 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 if you enjoy the show, you know what to do.
Yep. This is your show as much as ours, and we can only keep making it if you share this link on your social media, whatever that is, or simply share it with a friend.
Special thanks to Cheese, Connoisseur Magazine.
Uh-huh. Mark E., Liam Neeson, and of course, Uncle Eamon.
Until next week, Shakers, good skills.
Good skills.
Talking Istanbulics comedy podcast was brought to you by Ray Mack and Yorma Kiriko and was produced by James Kirk. No animals or copyright were violated during the making of this podcast. Talking Istanbulics 2024.